Today's perek in Tanakh is Shmuel Aleph, perek Tetvav. Vayomer Shmuel el Shaul, Oti shalach Adonai l'mishalchacha l'melech al amo Yisrael, ve'ata shma l'kol divrei Adonai. A very strange opening. Shmuel tells Shaul, I was sent by God to anoint you to be king on his people, on Yisrael, and now I want you to listen to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to say. I mean, why the whole introduction? So the halachic implications of the introduction, remarkably, are brought in only one place, and that's the Rambam. The Rambam darshins the pasuk, and nobody knows how he gets it. So the fortune say maybe he found it some source that we don't know about. But the truth is, the Rambam always darshins the pasuk, because the Rambam's shita is that although you follow the Gemara for all piskei halachas, you can not follow the Gemara when it comes to things that are not negeil halacha. In other words, they don't have any authority. There's nothing authoritative about a statement of a Tana, even if it's in the Gemara, other than the authority of a Beis Din, Shemehem Yotze Teir L'Kol Yisrael, they're the last Beit Din HaGadol, and Mamela, they're Mechuyav. You're Mechuyav to listen. But if the Gemara darshan something from a particular pasuk, I can darshan a pasuk myself. I don't need the way that the Gemara darshans it. So his derech was to always take the most obvious approach. Most obvious approach was this. So he says that you see from here that Shmuel is dafka bringing these two things together because he wants to say that the mitzvah after minui melech is michiat amalek, which is true la'aloka. So there's shalosh mitzvot shenitztavu yisrael b'knisatam la'aretz. One is minui melech. The other is Milchemet Amalek, and the other is Binyan Beit HaMikdash. He's saying, okay, I already did this. I've appointed you king. Now it's time for the next phase. And that's the halachic implications. Lamaisa, we will see that there's another stress over here, which is his insistence that we're giving you another chance to be Shomea, which you have not done. You niskalta, as he says earlier. You really blew this in the earlier times when he wasn't Shomea to the call of the Navi. And now we've already seen the most, now that we've gone along and gotten a sense more of what's going wrong with Shaul, we've already gotten the feeling about what's happening. What's happening is that what appeared to be a very strange statement initially, Ben Shana Shaul Ben Malcho, which I pointed out to you, the Gemara has this weird, maybe it means he was a year old, still in diapers, and he was in dirty diapers. So what is that supposed to mean? Okay. So in general, it points to something wrong. But in a very profound way, it points to exactly what's wrong. He was a year old, meaning that the entire melucha was precocious. That was the problem. So the premature nature of the melucha, and this is expressed in a beautiful medrash, that relates the malchus of Shaul to Binyamin Zev Yitrav. So what's the trifa? They grab things out of order. So that was a reference to the wives that they had to kidnap, right? But it's also a reference to Torfu et HaMelucha. They grabbed the Melucha away from Yehuda. And that was done through Shaul. And that Trifa is also premature in a sense. It's precocious. You're not really ready for what you're doing. But you've arrived earlier than you should have at a particular stage. And that was, of course, the She'ela that was reflected in Klal Yisrael. They were She'el, where there wouldn't have been a need for She'ela if there had been a real maturation to true Melucha. Now, it's true that that maturation process only took another couple of years, really, because it was Ben Shaul, Ben Shana B'Molcho, Shtei Shani Malacha Yisrael. Already, we find the gradual, it's only 7 or so years later, that we really have the development of a full Melucha, when David is able to go up to Yerushalayim. And note that the Pasuk originally, brilliantly, which nobody understands what that Pasuk is for, already made it clear that we're looking ahead at the future because it spoke about the Aron HaBrit in Kiryat Yarim for the next 20 years. All that time takes us to David HaMelech's Melucha, where he's ready to bring the Aron up to Yerushalayim. That was when this story ends, is what that pasuk indicated. So the truth is, from the minute of the Achzara of the Aron, and as long as it's a Kiryat Yarim, we are unsettled. That's what it's showing. The Aron is not where it belongs. Klal Yisrael is not where it belongs. So again and again, we find the premature nature in Shaul is that he acts precociously. He acts prematurely. So he doesn't wait for the correct moment. So it's all about being ben shana b'malcho. It's amazing how it is. This is all put into that one medrash. So this is the Trifav Binyamin, the Zev Yitrov. It's the nature of his b'chol asher yifna yarshia, as we're going to see later, remuz into that. Things are just not done correctly. So when Shmuel comes here, we don't realize when we first hear the words, but Shaul should have realized when he hears these words, you need to listen. And we're going to see that it's all about listening this parak. The precocious nature of Shaul, we saw up front, was his unwillingness to be melech also. So even though on the surface that appears to be an act of anova and of tzniut and so on, amazingly the Gemara identifies the demise of Shaul in terms of arrogance. Which is very strange. Where is he? Arrogance? And that's what the Gemara says? Yes. It was because of gasut. There was a gasut there of the dot that he had. Oh, so what happened over here, again, exactly, the lack of self-confidence that David HaMelech mentions later, in a long while later, in his argument with Michal, when he brings the Aron up, which is the place where it's Nitgaleh, the same Kiryat Yarim that switches to Yerushalayim, it's at that moment that he tells Michal, in all honesty, the truth is, Kadosh Baruch Hu chose me over your father because every damn thing he did was for himself. He was always worried about himself. It's not that he was so tsanua. I have to tell you honestly. And the bottom line is the fact that Hashem was bocher bi, above your father. So let's not argue about who is right. We know who is right. And the reason it happened, kol ma she'aselo aseh l'chvod atzmo. L'chvod atzmo in the sense of being concerned for the implications for himself. Now obviously we're talking about over here very subtle psychological issues. That we're never nizgala openly in the pasuk, but which form a pattern so that we can understand that sometimes a person who is knowing with tremendous anivas doesn't push himself forward. It comes from a lack, not from something that is in and of itself positive. And where the drives, the underlying drives for a good behavior are rooted in a concern for something that is in and of itself not good, the implications come out. The truth will out. And that out comes only when the Aron is brought back to Yerushalayim, where Michal is the one who pushes the point, and David has no choice but to explain to her once and for all what has just happened over the past 20 years. So now, we find that Shmuel identifies the issue. He doesn't know how to listen. And I'm telling you now, listen. Atah Shmuel, I want you to listen. Ko amar Adonai Tzvaot. So says Hashem, Pakati et asher asah Amalek liYisrael. Asher Samlo Baderech Balotomi Mitzrayim. The time has come. I've been waiting for this moment. I've always cared so profoundly about what was done there, and I wasn't able to deal with it until now. Now we have a Melech Ata. Now Leich Vikitat Amalek V'Achramtem Et Kol Asher Lo V'Lo Tachmol Alav. You're to destroy everything they have and have no mercy, because believe me, they will have no mercy on you. And we know exactly what happened from Shaul's great mercy on Amalek. And that was Purim, the threat of a Holocaust that was Me'ish V'Adishav, and all wipe out the Jews. That came from having mercy. Ve'imatam Me'ish Adishav Me'olel V'Adyonek Mishor V'Atzeh Me'gamal V'Atchamor. Just wipe everything out. Man, woman, child, animal. So Vaishama Shaul Ta'am. And so Shaul now gets everybody into shape for war. There's discipline here. It's a Shvai Shama is exactly the issue that he was supposed to be doing.
It sounds like he's doing it wrong.
Not he. Vaishama means that he disciplined them. So that he now, we'll see that these are all plays on words, remuzim, that become central to the whole story. So he's Vaishama Ta'am. This time he's not Vayivkedem Bibazak. With Bezek, with little broken pieces, now he's rich. So if Kedem Batlaim, this is what Madi Omer, if it's coming to tell me a Kedesh Batlaim, it must be that he used his Tlaim to show how rich he became. And so, he had Matayim Elef Ragli, the Aseret Alafim Et Ish Yehuda, the army now consisted of 200,000 people, plus 10,000 men from Yehuda. And we see that all along we've separated out Yehuda, Yale Rishon. Vayavol Shaul Ad Ir Amalek, Vayorev Banoch. And so Shaul comes to the city of Amalek, and there, Pashtus means he's fighting now in the Nachal near the city. But as Chazal tell us, it means that he was fighting with his conscience, fighting with God, fighting with his sense of morality, fighting with what is right.
Wait, I'm sorry, so, he's fighting against it, or is he
fighting in his mind? This is, he's wrestling with the issues. So what was his taina, says the Gemara? He was benachal. The fight was about nachal. So he said that you have to learn from the din of nachal etan, which is the halacha of bringing now an egla arufa, where you find even one person that you don't know who killed him, and you have to take responsibility for all the implications of one human being. So he says, if for one human being the Torah wants us to be makbid, to make sure that they're really responsible for what, I mean, why are they responsible? That's like killing all the Germans two generations later because their grandparents killed Jews. I mean, it sounds a little bit weird. It seems to run against the morality of the Torah. And besides, he says, I mean, did the animals sin? That we're going to kill the animals? I mean, the whole thing. Of course, from here comes the klal, kol hamrachem al ha'achzarim, sofo la'achzer al ha'rachmanim. So this was Shaul who ended up mercilessly destroying Nov Irakonim. And all of this because he's the great I feel your pain man. The I feel your pain people are the biggest danger to humanity. And that's a classic case. So you can't do what you need to do. You end up paying the price thousands of times over. And this is what happened over. So he ends up having rachmanis. And this is the opposite of shmia. Shmia means to listen and to accept that issues such as these come from beyond yourself. Yeah, it's that he wants to fight, but it really means he's fighting himself in the Nach. Yeah, Rav. Rabbis always fight. Vayomer Shaul el Hakini. And so we have over here, of course, he has to worry about what is going to happen to the Keni, because always the ones that were closest to Amalek, remarkably, is Yisro, right? Because Yisro gets along with everybody. Right? Our Lady is here for a reason. So Yisro gets along with everybody. And what happened was that, as we saw before, we had the children of Yisrael, the grandchildren of Yisrael. So we had Yonadav ben Rechav, we had the Bnei Hakeni, the Chosin Moshe, which were left the Ir HaTamarim, and they went, and they were mityashev to learn by Otniel ben Knaz. The place that they went was the location of Amalek, and since Bnei Hakeni have no problem in getting along with anybody, which is what Bilam was so shocked about, since Vayara Takeni, Vayisar Meshalo, how did you manage to get out of trouble? And the ones you were hanging around with everybody. You were part of this conference with Paro, in which everybody else got punished. It was part of that conference. Havanit Chakmalo, you get away with murder. You hang around Amalek, you get away with murder. Right? Okay. So this is now Shaul's turn to give comfort to the Bnei Yitro to make sure that they're not damaged. So he says to them, L'chu suru redu mitoch Amaleki. You've got to move out of here because we're going to war and you could be killed. We don't want the Keni to be hurt. What was that chesed that was done with Kol Bnei Yisrael? So there were numerous elements that were nogea Kol Bnei Yisrael. First of all, Yitro's parasha, in which all of his concern was for Bnei Yisrael. The covet of Yisrael. Why should people be standing in line and waiting for you? And this he was mocheh b'kvodo shel Yisrael, because of that he was zocheh. There's an amazing medrash in the deepest sense of Atasita Chesed. And there's many other nekudas that Yisrael made a seuda, if we understand it that way. The Pashto says that they made the seuda for Yisrael, but according to the medrash, that seuda where Moshe was Eimed Agabam and Aaron was there was made by Yitro. So that's considered to be Chesed. So this was in the Gemara story. So he said, if Yitro, all that he did was he made one seuda, and look what this, years later, remarkably, Ata Sita Chesed, someone who's Me'areach, Talmud Chacham, long term, and cares for him, and so on, Achas Kama V'Kama. But the deepest, most astonishing Nekudah is that the Medrash says, a ger who comes to be Mitkayer is doing the ultimate Chesed. And this is exactly what you see in Megillas Rus. I mean, the words of Boaz is to the Chesed, and that we're not even Kedai. How dare you talk about yourself as a Shivcha when you've done Chesed for all of us? Clearly, that aspect of the Giyur itself that allows you to perceive yourself from outside and bringing in the Kochot of the world into Yisrael—that's the deepest Chesed. And here, the Medrash says that's what he was referring to. The fact that you joined us is the greatest chesed imaginable. What deeper chesed could there be? So that is mamash beautiful. It's just stunning because it's the whole Megillas Rus, which is to teach you the Scharam Shogam Lechasadim. That's what it was all about. That was why it relates to Sodom and to Avram and so on. So it's remarkable.
This is Yitro.
This is Yitro, right. So you, since you, your family, was Ose Chesed in Kol B'nai Yisrael, we cannot fight Amalek if it hurts you. By Yosar Kini Mitoch Amalek, and so they leave.
And the right Lord of the Rings. They didn't get the hint.
It didn't matter. They were right. What are they going to do? They have to fight. So Vayach Sha'ulet Amalek Michavila Boach Ashur Asher Al Pnei Mitzrayim. Map in which you can see the area of Chavila Ashur, although the identification is not clear. Boach means towards. Shur Al Pnei Mitzrayim is not quite clear exactly what that is. So, I mean, it may be Chavila is the name of the area of the desert that is around now. The area of Saudi Arabia and these that come up to the areas of Eretz Yisrael. And that area actually goes all the way up to the what we call the Persian Gulf, going down to Shur Al Pnei Mitzrayim. Now, it's not clear. There was the river Shihor. Maybe that's the river it means, Al Pnei Mitzrayim. However, recently there were findings of what appeared to be a system of protective moats, actually. There's a longer shur is actually a wall, but it may mean this a ta'ala. So there was actually a area, security area, that apparently had stretched all along the Mitzrayim border in order to protect it from the tribes that used to wander through the area and attack the people, including that was where Amalek was also would attack in Mitzrayim. And so that area may be the shur, in the sense of a wall, that protected the entire Mitzrayim. So we say al-pnei is to the east, or along the entire Gvul. We mean al-pnei, along the Gvul, so that he basically attacked the main centers of Amalek. And you can see that this was across a large area. It's not clear. Chavila, again, would be in Saudi Arabia today. You can see it goes all the way down to the Persian Gulf. And that would be Midbar Shur. There's possibilities that it was the Shichor, possibilities that you could see the line of the old Ta'ala that is marked there on your map to the left. And so Shaul actually goes in. Now, why Lamaisa was it a Hakrav Amalek from Shur, specifically till B'nai Mitzrayim? Why not just kill Amalek wherever they are? It's clear from here he was not given an order to destroy Amalek. He was given an order to destroy this Amalek. We immediately find afterwards that David is also fighting Amalek, and he has the Nar Amalek, and also, right, I said, where do they come from? So the truth is, in the same way that Yoshua, at the original attack of Amalek, was not given permission to destroy Amalek. Vayachalosh Yoshua at Amalek lefichareth. But he had to leave only everything else. He wasn't given, go and fight them, destroy Amalek. Neither was Shaul. Each war against Amalek is a limited war in terms of how much Yisrael can deal with Amalek. Because it's ultimately a spiritual war and a war of identity. So only the level that you have reached are you able to undo Amalek. But you certainly cannot undo Amalek until you are done completely. Which is actually said in the original mitzvah. Midor dor. Milchama l'Hashem Amalek in every generation. So only at a time when the total power of Amalek is nizgala in the world, is it possible for Yisrael to truly deal with Amalek. Until now, you don't really understand Amalek, and the fact is that Shaul did not really understand Amalek. It's truly only in this century that the Kayak of Amalek has become so clear. I mean, in no time in history could people take seriously the idea that a nihilistic philosophy or a postmodern philosophy that questions the nature of meaning and the way in which you relate to data could be more dangerous than the nuclear weapons. People would laugh at such a thing. I mean, yeah, okay, the pen is mightier than the sword. And truly today, we are exactly the state. You can have vast empires that are able at the touch of a button to destroy half of a planet, and they're completely decimated by 10,000 members of Amalek who run the press rooms and the editors of the magazines.
It's us. We have the capability of
going. Yeah, it's the same thing as us. I'm saying the United States is completely paralyzed. Only because Amalek runs the country. Because you're not able to make any kind of commitments to what is right and what is good. It's all a question of, well, and that's Shaul got it from Amalek. the idea of, well, I mean, is it really right? Or do we not feel their pain? That was the kishalon of Shaul in accepting Amalek. We obviously couldn't destroy Amalek. It wasn't two separate issues. I don't really have the guts, so therefore I justify. It was that he indeed was not able to be aimed on the elements of Amalek in himself. Because you cannot make the decisions that need to be made, since everything is doubt. Which is the gematria of Amalek, safek. Everything is doubt. What, we're really going to go ahead and make a decision that we're going to blow up? Am I going to blow up Iran? Millions of people will be killed. Yeah, and if you don't, hundreds of millions of people will be killed. That's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. This is what happened over here. You have mercy on Agag, and Agag becomes the father of Haman HaAgagi. No, so your mercy was really a great idea. And this is exactly where we're all. This is the first time in human history that it became clear that, and this is exactly the opposite of Shemoa, you understand? Shaul's initial problem in making something about the weapons and the army and his fright about needing to get things done. Amalek never needs to get things done. That's the beauty of it. You only need to control. So you control minds. You don't need to do anything. It's the exact opposite of the vision of Shaul's Malchus as it should have been. Which is what, that's why Shmuel is saying the issue over here is not to get things done. It's to learn to see things correctly. Therefore, Shema B'kol Hashem. That's what we need to see. The very fact that he was willing to entertain the question about the morality of the issue is exactly what happened the first time. Hayesh Hashem B'kirbeinu Yimayim. I mean, is this really right? That's exactly what Amalek causes the first time around. So what we see over here is a massive failure, not of will, of vision, of acceptance of meaning, of recognizing that there is a Shema L'Kol Hashem, that everything else is just imagination in the end, and it will do you in. And so he goes, Vayorav, but as soon as you hear those words, Vayorav Benachal, you know we're in big trouble. So he's gotten rid of the Keni now, and so this was his job. Boach Ashur, Alpnei Mitzrayim, Vaitfosest Agag Melech Amalek Chai. And so he grabs Agag, and they keep him alive. Et Kol Ha'am Echarim Lefichorev, and everybody else he kills. Ve'achamo Shaul Ba'am Al Agag. Agag, I mean, he's an impressive figure. He's a thinker.
It's vision of intellectual exchange between the two of them.
It is an growing respect. It is an intellectual exchange. It really is, and we'll see that Agag actually comments on it. And so, he cannot bring himself to kill Agag. This is an intellectual giant. This is Bertrand Russell. Is he going to go kill? Exactly. Yeah, Derrida. He's going to kill a big philosopher like this. So he can't bring himself to kill him. And what? And the animals are Meitav Hatzon, Vavakar. All of these things are just to kill him. Va'mishnim, mishnim is a sense of bori and chazak and so on. So ve'ala karim, ve'al kol ha'tov, ve'lo avu achrimam. They didn't want to destroy them. I mean, if we don't take it for ourselves, we'll bring it up as a korban. But does it make sense just to this? You can destroy them by bringing them as a korban. Well, let's do something. It's not waste. Can't waste them. This, by the way, is a question. Are they ru'uyim b'chal for korban? Right? Are you allowed to use an animal that belonged to a goy for a korban? We're always afraid that the animals have been destroyed for sexual purposes, which is puzzle for the Mizbeah. So in Avinami, the Gemara says that if you have to be chayish, that the norm is, as the Kinsey reports, the norm is to have sex with animals and among people that live on farms and so on. So then they weren't allowed to use these animals, in which case they meant, according to Naaman the Omar, to sell them and use the money. So why then? Who cares whether they're fat and good and so on? It'll be easier to sell. Okay, fine. This is the level of the rationalizations that we're talking about. Things that didn't really have any strong... this is unimportant. This stuff can melt away anyway. So that they destroyed. That did it. I realize the Medrash points out that when it comes to din on tzaddikim, there's always a sense of tmiha. Kodesh Baruch Hu is, I can't understand how this happened. This is crazy. So that nichamti is so profound because it touches the underlying nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's own commitments. So it comes as such a surprise of change. How does God change his mind? So in other words, it's the most profound relationship to issues in Bria. This goes all the way back to the marble. I'm sorry I created humanity. No, nechama means complete change. That's what it actually means. Even in the sense of comfort, it means coming to a completely different vision of reality. So vayinachem, change that you can believe in, real change you can believe in, which is comfort. So no matter how terrible things are, if I restructure my vision of reality, I'm able to deal with it. If I don't, then I'm never really able to deal with it. I can repress it, but I can't deal with it. That's why we use the word nechama in a good sense as well. Because I can't take it anymore. Kishav me acharai. Yeah, he used to be a good guy. V'dvarai lo ikim. Vayichad Shmuel vayizak el Adonai kol ha'layla. Shmuel was shattered by this and hoped that using the lashon of tzaka, which is the most powerful element of tefillah to change a gezera, that there would be some hope.
Vayichad Shmuel, he was angry at Shmuel?
No. Shmuel became devastated by this. It's also a lashon of a hole. It's like you make a hole in his heart, right? So this, he just couldn't get over this. This is the reason that ultimately we'll see that Shmuel dies, because he's unable to let go. He can't let go. And so Vayash came Shmuel likrat Shaul baboker. So he gets up in the morning and he goes down to Shaul. What's left for him now is to confront Shaul. So Vayugad, there he was about to leave, and he was told that Shaul had come to Carmela. Now, there's lots of places at Carmela because it simply means an area that was rich in the agricultural sense. Ha Carmela seems to be a general place where there's a lot of pasture land and so on, in which case it may mean just a place that has pasture. It might mean Carmela in the sense of Karamim, that there's also a lot of vineyards in the area. It's not clear. There is a place in Har Yehuda we saw before in Yehoshua. There was a Carmel, and it's certainly unlikely that it means Har Carmel, as Rashi says, referring to the Har Carmel that we're talking about today, which was a completely different area than where it was that Shaul was fighting. And so, it probably means the Carmel in Harei Yehuda. There is actually a place today that the Arabs still called Chirbat el Carmel, and that is in the area of Hebron, not too far from Hebron, about 10 kilometers from Hebron. And he was told that Shaul is going there to celebrate his great victory. Vihine matziv lo yad. This means, according to Chazal, yad means that this was a mizbeach that he was building. It might also mean that he was just a yad in the sense of a great andarta, that he put up a stone to describe the victory over Amalek. Vayisov vayavor vayered hagilgal. And that then, this apparently is part of what was told to Shmuel, that Shaul had celebrated and then had turned and gone down to Gilgal after he was soveiv. He went around the Carmel and whatever other cities were there and came back down to the Gilgal near Yericho through Midbar Yehuda. In which case, Vayavo Shmuel El Shaul would mean that then Shmuel went to meet Shaul in Gilgal. It might mean, of course, that Vayisov Vayavo Vera Gilgal, but it would, that Shaul, not about Shaul, but about Shmuel, but then it would be a little bit strange why it would be referring to Shmuel's going to Gilgal when he hadn't been told anything about Gilgal. And so the moods of our two main characters here are very, very different. Shmuel is going to what he believes is a tragic confrontation, and Shaul is coming in a celebratory mood, not even aware, perhaps subconsciously aware, and sensing something is wrong, and therefore he does his regular thing in the next pasuk. Vayavo Shmuel el Shaul, vayom el Shaul, and Shaul kidarko, comes out. Whenever he senses there might be a problem, it's immediately, you know, the best form of defense is to go out there and say how great it is. Vayom elo Shaul, like he did last time. Baruch atal Adonai. Ah, great. Hakimoti et var Adonai. I did exactly what I was told to do. The Medrash compares this to like a child. The father says, you know, do kach v'kach. Does exactly the opposite. And like the worst possible thing, he says, that's gasut haruah. This is the Medrash that says, this is gasut haruah. Mashlu mashal. You have a melech bazar v'adam. He says to his child, lama lo asit et kol ma shepkarticha. So the son says, what didn't I do that you told me to do? So that exact attitude, that's gasut haruah. So Shmuel says, really now, and what about all the meh that I hear in the background? I seem to be hearing a lot of baying of sheep. What's that? I guess you brought your flocks down to fight the other sheep? And what's the kol habakara shanochi shomea? Vayomashul, oh, that. That's me amalekievi You see, I mean, asher chomala amal metavatzon vahabakar. Leman Zivach, Ladonai Elohecha. I mean, it's, of course, I mean, people, you know, people wanted just to bring a korban. I mean, we couldn't really stand in front of the will of the people. It was Kamala Am. I mean, I'm only the king of the people over here. And it was all basically, I mean, it's your God, right? I mean, you're interested in this kind of thing. You'd like us to bring korbanos. But all the rest we got rid of. At this point, Shmuel lost it. Because, it's one thing you want to fool yourself and rationalize that you're doing things right. When I'm questioning you, and you're still giving me garbage. So Shmuel says to Heref, I can't tell you, just shut up already. You want to hear what God has to say about it? Or do we have to listen to your garbage? So, Heref, if you'll shut up long enough to hear something, I could tell you something. Vayomer lo, okay, daber. So, tell me what you heard. Vayomer Shmuel, you know, Elohim katonata be'enecha. This is exactly where he picks it up. You have a personality defect. You may be, in your own eyes, very, very incapable of things. But that's not the issue over here. Rosh Yiftei Yisrael Atah. Didn't I start by telling you that I was Moshech you to be king? That's why I told you. Vayim Shachacha Adonai Lamelech al Yisrael. That is your identity. And for you to identify yourself in terms of this childishness, and your Ben Shaul b'malcho, Ben Shana Shaul b'malcho, and this is your identity now? You still can't figure out that you are the one who stands in front of Yisrael. Vayishlachacha Adonai badarech. He sent you along a path. It wasn't just an act. It was a whole way of life that you were chosen for. Vayomer leich vacharamta tachataim et amalek v'nilchamta bo ad kalotamota. You should fight them until you destroy them. I told you up front it was about listening. That's all it was about, listening. And you still couldn't listen. You see how he's referring back to his original opening pasuk. God made you king, and now listen. So not only that, not only don't you leave, you're not a king. You're not identifying yourself as a king. So that you turned your heart towards the things that you could take. And unbelievably, Shaul turns around and said, but I did do what was right. Horrifying. But I did listen to him. I did take that path. I took that path. I just brought the king, you know. I mean, we could kill him now. Yeah, except for a minor problem. As Chazal tell us, they could kill him now, but he'd already impregnated that night a woman who would give birth ultimately to Haman. And I already explained to you, these people were, I couldn't control everybody. I thought you said we're not supposed to make charamim, you know. Didn't you say that? And so in the first part, you know, it sort of goes to the base of Mikdash and everything. No good. Vayomer Shmuel, these rationalizations, these korbanos, like somebody cares about them. What, you think God is interested in your animals? Kishmoa b'kol Adonai? All he's interested in is response. In a shmoa mizevach tov, listening is always better than bringing korbanos. Lakshiv, paying attention, is worth more than the best b'chelev elim, from the greatest parts, la krem of the elim that you're going to put on the mizveach. Because the truth is, kichatat kesem meri, va'aven utrafim haftzeon. Let me tell you something. You think, and this is a remez, of course, in the end to what happens to poor Shaul, is that he goes to a kesem, goes to a kosem in the end. Right? So when you rebel, you might as well be going to the lowest kind of human behaviors. You want to go to wizards. To go to a wizard, you have no relationship to God. Mary is like listening to wizards. And haftzar, all of this talk, that's all I hear, is your stupid, idiotic rationalizations. You might as well be worshipping trafim. Yan ma'asta dvar Adonai. You obviously detest what Hashem has to say. And he detests you. You're not a king anymore. Vayomer Shaul el Shmuel. I realize now. Chatat. Yes. Surely we can fix this, right? I see now what happened. Ki avarti et pi Adonai v'dvarecha. I didn't listen. And I went against what Hashem said, what you had said. It's clear what happened. Ki areti et ha'am. I didn't have the guts. I was afraid of the people. I see now. I couldn't stand up against the will of the people. Veshma b'kolam. So, okay, so we'll do tshuva. We'll fix this. Ve'ata sana et chatati. So, I mean, God will forgive me. You forgive me. Shuvi mi v'shtacha ve'el Adonai. Let's just turn around. We'll bow down to Hashem. Ve'yomer Shmuel el Sha'ul, never. Lo ashuv imach. I will not go back with you. You didn't understand. You're still not listening to what I told you. I told you. Ki ma'asta et dvar Adonai. Do I have to repeat myself? You detest it. Vayima'ascha Adonai miot melech Yisrael. You don't understand. It's not a question of, I did the wrong thing. God will forgive me. You are detestable. You're finished. It's over. Vayisov Shmuel alechet. Shmuel turns to walk away. Vayachazek bichnaf mi'ilo vayikara. And so he, the pashtus, Shaul grabs on to Shmuel's coat to try to keep him, and it tears. That's the pashtus. It's a machlokus in the Gemara, which coat tore and who held on to which coat. So Shmuel said, Vayomer lo Shmuel, kara Adonai et mamlechut Yisrael mi'alecha hayom. This torn beged is the simen. And this is, it's interesting, that's exactly was the simon. Because what happened is, when David cut the coat of Shaul, and that morning he shows himself, says, you see what I could have done to you? And it's at that point that Shaul says, I know that you're going to be king. That's how he knew. This was the original simon, that this was the simon that he would be king. So Shmuel says, this is the simon. You heard that rip? That ripped away the malchus from you. From now on, you're no longer king. Giving it to, oh, this was murder. Giving it to the man who's better than you are. Of course, this began your friend, your lover. We're going to see, of course, that it was all a function of the relationship, ultimately, of Shaul with David. And that's what makes it so painful. This Lashon, beautifully, Chazal identified as the same. Remember, there were two parts of Binyamin that he was Toref, the Malucha. So one is, in that remez of Ze'ev Yitrov, was the Baboker, Yochal Ad, La'erev Yechalek Shalal. So the Baboker was Shaul, but La'erev was Esther, who was the great-great-great-granddaughter of Shaul. The language that Achashverosh uses to show, that they tell Achashverosh, what do you do now? Umalchuta, Yitena Melech Liruuta, Tovah Mimena. Word for word, the language that was taken away from Shaul was given to Esther. Astounding, right? The two elements of Shaul, that whatever is good in you, well, it'll be given. Don't worry. Nothing is overlooked. Vegam. Vegam. Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker v'lo yinachem kilo adam hu liyinachem. And we're dealing over here with the question of Netzach. We're not dealing with the moment. We're dealing with eternity here. And Netzach Yisrael doesn't change his mind. Kilo adam hu liyinachem. We're no longer talking about your good friend God. We're talking about Netzach Yisrael. Vayomer Shaul says, please. Netzach is the midah of Netzach, but it's the reference of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his Yisgalus of Netzach. And that's why Purim is Netzach, it's connected Netzach. And therefore, in the context of Netzach, there's no more room for Nechama. Nechama, exactly. And you should know that this now is the... So he said, okay, but I recognize that I sinned. And now you're going to embarrass me publicly? Hatakabeni na neged ziknei ami v'neged Yisrael, at least publicly. Can't you show me, do I have to suffer publicly at this moment? V'shuvi me, come back with me. V'shtachaveti l'adonai lo'echa, I will just bow down. V'yoshev Shmuel acharei Shaul, v'yishtachu Shaul adonai. And so Shmuel followed Shaul, and Shaul bows down. Now, again, I do not have a mokor in Chazal. I generally hate saying things that I don't have a mokor, but it's so clear to me that this was the disaster that caused Shmuel's death. And this was the disaster that basically caused all of the problems in the giving over the Malchus to Beis David and the implications that that had for all of Jewish history in terms of the breakdown of the Malchus between the Aseres HaShvatim and in the end, the destruction of Eretz Israel. But this one moment, he said a minute ago, never. Well, okay. And that, what, one moment. Yeah. So what happened is that this was a moment of Hanifa. That's what it was. And a moment of Hanifa, as the Gemara says, destroyed the Malchut, and he was the source of the Churban. Because it was Agrippas, who was the last Melech, that loses everything because Claudius IV were machnif to him. They said something nice. They didn't do anything wrong. They said, you're our brother, Agrippas, we love you. Really? So you should all be destroyed, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's truth or bust. You can't, in situations like this, imagine if Shmuel had told Shaul, you know, you can go down in history as one of the greatest men in Jewish history. Go out there and tell everybody, ladies and gentlemen, I am no longer your king. And you should all learn from this, that the greatest people, when they don't listen, Lishmuel Kalashem, There's no kingdom. There's no such thing as a king that isn't more than just the moment democratic feelings that you have. He's got to be able to lead. I'm not a king. Select yourself a real king. Do you understand what that, the impact that that would have had? And the grandeur for the memory of Shaul. And instead, Shmuel's own failure because of his commitment to Shaul, his love of Shaul, his kiss of Shaul, up front, that originally gave over the Malchus to Shaul, couldn't see him suffer, couldn't see him be shamed. And so he told him to do the exact opposite of what Yehuda did, who stood up and said, she's right, I was wrong. And instead of that moment, he twisted everything around, lost his own life because of it, dies at 52, when there's plenty of life left in him, is so connected to Shaul that he blows the Messiris HaMalchus correctly. He gives over the message, and the moment the message is given over, now it's up to him. He can't handle it. And that is the next parak, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Shmuel, what is wrong with you? Look, I don't understand. And I pointed out before, this is J.D. Salinger's definition of sentimentality. You can't love something more than God. If you do, you're just an idiot. That's sentimental. That's not real. And this is exactly what happens now to Shmuel. And so Shmuel is now here, and there's Agag. Vayomer Shmuel, Agishu elay at Agag Melech. Bring him over here. Vayelech elav Agag ma'adanot. And so Agag is walking now. Truth is, Agag is very happy. Because basically, he undid the damage by fathering a new child who would destroy Yisrael, he was convinced. And so he's whispering to himself. He's walking very lightly. And he says, this is according to Medrash, what's happening. Vayomer Agag. So Agag says, okay. Achen sar mar hamavet. I don't really care anymore. It's not bitter to die because I know that my seed of the future has been planted. Right? So this was his vision that he understood that ultimately we would be victorious over Yisrael. Okay. The simple meaning is, all right, it's over. Mar hamavet. Death is bitter. Right? Or death comes. So there's a lot of, it's a very strange lashon. That's why Chazal see it as a remez. But the simple meaning would be sar is it's over. It would be like somebody says, okay, it's over. Death is bitter. Right? Or sar has turned to me. Now, the bitterness of death turns to me. Sar mar hamavet. There are a lot of approaches. But
I used to inflict mar hamavet and now it's coming to me?
No, not necessarily. No. That's what Shmuel says, not what he's saying. Vayomer Shmuel. Now, there's another midrash that says that he's referring to himself as a sar, meaning that he saw that Shmuel was not going to give him an easy time of it. So he says, this is how you treat a sar? So Lamaisa Chazal say that we know that Amalek's vision always was to make fun of Bris Milah. So it basically cut off the penises of every Jew that they killed. Bizore klape mala would say, well, God, you seem to like penises, have some. So this was their ultimate insult to Bris Milah. And he realized that's what Shmuel was going to do to him. So he says, this is what you do to a sar? To which Shmuel says, well, sure. Kasher shikla nashim charbecha. Your sword has certainly made a lot of women unhappy. So that would be the meaning according to the Medrash. Ken tishkal minashim imecha, which is a remiss to your mother. Not your mother, but amatcha. In other words, your aver. So ken tishkal minashim imecha. This is sort of a dirty lashon to make him sense, you know. But then the Medrash says not only did he de-penicize him, but he cut him up into pieces and fed him to the birds. But this was no fun. Vayishasev Shmuel at Agag, and Agag saw what was coming because he quartered him. So what he did was, is he set up these poles that would pull his body apart so that when he cut, he was cut into four pieces. And he saw it come, he said, how can you kill an Adam Godel like me in such a fashion?
I got the Nobel Peace Prize.
Exactly, that's right.
Times Man of the Year.
Exactly, perfect. Vayishasev Shmuel at Agag. That's the only time it says Vayishasev. He just cut him into pieces. So he quartered him, according to Chazal. Vayishasev, he cut him through and turned him into four quarters. Or according to the other Lashon, he literally just sliced him into little pieces. Et Agag, lifnei Adonai ba'Gilgal. Vayelech Shmuel aramata. Shmuel went back to his home. V'Shaul alal beito giv'at Shaul. And that was the last time they ever saw each other. Shmuel never again saw Shaul till the day that he died. For Shmuel could not take the fact that this had happened to Shaul. Now that stands as a contrast. Why? Which is the next passage, the opening of the next paragraph. If I am disgusted with him, why are you still loving him? this was the question about Shmuel. But this last business, that he couldn't face the destruction of his Maasei Adayim, is the way the Gemara puts it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to destroy a person's main achievement while he lives, to which God says, okay, so you could always die first, then we'll destroy your achievement. And then that's what happened. That's he has to die immediately before Shaul.
Why did you say that's the last time he saw Shaul? Shaul's already been drawn and murdered.
Oh, no, Agag is drawn.
Oh,